T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, a little after 5, we're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. The Pat Sherman Report is sponsored by the New York Lottery. The newest scratch-off games from the New York Lottery are on sale now. Try your luck today, and you can bring home a win. By Adorama, the official retailer of the New York Football Giants, online at Adorama.com. And by Fios by Verizon, 100% fiber optic network, 100% phenomenal. Visit GetFios.com. The head coach of the football Giants is Pat Shurmur, and he joins us now. Coach, welcome. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Mike?
All right, Coach. Thoughts first. You want to, you know, before we get into some questions, your thoughts on a Monday night in Atlanta?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, we got to get a little bit faster start. That goes without saying on offense. You know, we've got to, can't have those little breakdowns that keep us out of the end zone. And then when we get down there again, we kick 2 field goals and got stopped on fourth down, you know, which those are opportunities to score 21 points, which can make a big difference in the ball game. And so there's reasons for it. We got to fix it. It's not good enough. We understand the urgency, and, you know, we just got to keep going. I thought we moved the ball. You know, we had some sacks early in the game. We got that cleaned up, but we got to do more early in the game, and I think that'll help change the results.
Coach, urgency 1-6. I mean, it's yeah. it's a long way now to anything. Plus, today you send one of your players packing. You're not 8 days from the trade deadline. I don't know that it'll be the last, but that also sends a real message to the fans that you're already going to next year.
Well, I don't know if it's a message to the fans. I do know this. The corner, you know, Eli was hurt in the game that we won against Houston, and our guys filled in and did a nice job against some really fine receivers. So, you know, we feel like, you know, at this point the answer's on our roster to fill the spot. You know, I know Dave, and organizationally you look at a long-term approach, but that does not mean that we're not trying to win every game now. And I think that's the important thing to remember. The fans need to understand that. I'm as disappointed with the fact that we're 1-6 as anyone. So are the players. And, you know, we got to do what we can to get it fixed now.
Well, I come from being around coaches who I know that if they're keeping score, they're trying to win. So I understand that part, okay? But that doesn't mean you also don't have an eye towards next year, and you may not be moving personnel around and looking at right. people at a certain point. Is that point coming for you guys? I know you haven't reached it at 1-6, but is it close?
No, I don't think so. I think, again, we're going to do everything we can to win, and we're certainly sensitive to that, especially with the way the fans look at it, because that's an important piece. But we also know that sometimes some of the answers are on your roster. You know, we brought up Quadri, and he did a decent job with the punt return for the first time through. So, you know, it gives some of these guys that are on the roster for a reason an opportunity to go out and show what they can do. And, you know, we can find some players that are going to be part of the answers as we move forward this season and beyond.
You know, sometimes the answer is we don't have the personnel, and maybe that's the answer. Why have you not been able to fix the offensive line?
Well, that's a good question. I think early in the game, you know, I think we've fallen victim to this, you know, kind of throughout the season. Early in the game, you know, we have those individual breakdowns. They pressured us a bunch yesterday, and we had to throw hot one time, and the ball got out cleanly. You know, and so we did a good job with the pressures and the movement. And I think the combination of guys we had in there was right for our team right now. You know, but we just have those individual breakdowns, and it kind of gets spread across the unit that we can't have. Now, had we put the ball in the end zone and scored these points, then it would have been a footnote. because we didn't, it's certainly one of the first questions, certainly, that everybody
wants. Well, to me,
they
run hand in hand for this reason. You see, I look at it a little different than maybe some people do. Everyone looks at it as sacks. I also look at it as run blocking. This kid doesn't get a chance. If you could run the ball,
you'd
be better in the red zone. You need to be able to run the ball to be efficient in the red zone, and you guys can't run the ball.
Well, and I think when I say individual breakdowns, I'm not just talking about passing the ball. I'm with you on that, Mike. I think, you know, it's a coordinated unit, and I think it's fair to say we got to do a better job consistently throughout the game.
And maybe the answer is we don't have the personnel on the offensive line. Maybe that is the answer. You've made a lot of changes, that's for sure.
Well, and I'm not willing to say that because in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that. I believe that the guys that we have here can get it done. And, you know, we had a new center, we had a new left or a new right guard. You know, we had some guys that hadn't practiced most of the week, but there's no excuse. We got to go out and do what we have to do to score points.
We know, to me, when I look at red zone, one of the things I think is that if you can't run it, it's much harder to throw it in a confined area. I think that's very difficult against defenses. We know that.
Sure.
But also, it seems like there just is not a lot of crispness in the red zone. What do you see in your red zone execution in the passing game?
Well, I think we had some opportunities, and, you know, I think when we went back and looked at it, you know, each drive that we were down there, we probably had an opportunity to either get a first down within the red zone or score a touchdown that didn't happen. And you're right. It comes down to execution. And I think it's also important. You hit the nail on the head. When we choose to run it down there, we need to get yards. And
you don't. And it's true. And look at the two sneaks. I mean, nothing was more futile than those two sneaks where you couldn't get any push at all. And Eli's not good at the sneak. We know that. It's not a strength of his. It's just not a strength of his. We know that. But also, you got no push there twice in a row. And I'm not saying, listen, that didn't cost you the game. We know that because you would have had to get an onside kick anyway. So
sure.
We understand that. But it would have looked a lot cleaner than it looked.
Yeah, no, I certainly... You call the sneak with the idea that you're going to make it.
Right.
And, you
know,
you
do two in a row.
Everybody
in
America.
I don't even think I've seen two
in
a row.
Yeah. I just think when you get the ball that close and it's in a hurry-up situation, you know, it's the right decision to try to sneak it there. And, you know, I think, you know, you count on making it. And for whatever reason, we didn't make it. And then, you know, then we eventually threw the fade to Odell. But, you know, that's the way it worked out. Unfortunately, again, everything sort of comes back to execution and making sure we as coaches give the guys the right things to do. And we just keep working on it.
Coach, 2013, you, at 2012, you go for the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
I have to admit I didn't understand it. The announcers didn't understand it. Why not just kick the extra point and try to tie the game up?
Well, I think... In my case, and it goes a little bit into the decision to go for it when we were down, you know, on the other end of the field. You know, I was pissed at myself when I did not use my timeouts earlier in the game or in the first half of one of the early games. And I think it's important that we have an aggressive mindset. And I know the players appreciate this, but, you know, down by 14 there, if you go for it, then – and you make it, then the next score, if nobody scores, you're kicking an extra point to win it. And, you know, and then if for some reason you don't make it, then you still go for two to tie it. So, and really the analytics and the math defend that decision. It's sort of new, and so there's a lot of people, even people that broadcast the games, that don't understand that. But there's, you know, there's math that backs it up. And we are aware of the situation, and we felt good about the plays that we were going to call. And, you know, we had an opportunity to make the play, and for what, you know, it didn't happen. And so, but that's why we did it.
Yeah, I have to see the math. I have to see, I'm open to it, but I got to see the math because I don't understand it. Because it seems to me that the best thing you can do there is kick the onside point, which is PAT is still a very high percentage play, and then you're one touchdown from going to overtime, which would be a great comeback if you could do that.
Right
there, trying to win the game, it should be the last thing you're thinking about. I mean, you're 14 points behind. I mean, let's try to tie the game first.
Well, no, I think you're always thinking about winning the game.
Right, but the idea is you got to try to, you know, sometimes you got to tie the game before you can win the game. I mean, the point is, if you go down there and you're 20-12, you got to go get it. Now you got to get a 2-point conversion just to stay in the game.
Which we did the second time we went.
Yeah, but that was not a big 2-point conversion. Let's be honest, okay? The game was over. It's 5 seconds left. The game was over.
No, I know that, but they still were trying to defend it, and we got it. So,
but if it had been a game on the line with a minute left or 2 minutes left, I think you would have seen a little different defense with 2 minutes. So I'm not sure about that one. I gotta see someone explain that to me on a piece of paper. But
okay.
I'll you think you can? I'd like to see that. I'd like someone to send that to me because I don't see how the percentages are in your favor.
You could probably it's out there.
I will look at it, but I'm willing to have an open mind about it because that doesn't make a lot of sense to me and. Again, I wouldn't want to put that pressure on my team where I got to get that 2-point conversion if it's 20-18. Now, they kicked the long field goal, and your defense, which played, I thought, pretty well at times, it got pressure in the first half, but then in the second half, you could not stop. They ran some stuff that you guys just had no chance against. I mean, he completed 18 passes in a row.
Yeah, I think that's the point. You know, they did complete a lot of passes. You know, they were successful on third
and they're
down.
A good offense. Let's be fair.
They're a good offense. And, you know, they're dangerous with their receivers. I think they had 100 yards in offense on three plays.
Right.
But again, you know, I mean, they kicked the field goal at the end that made it a moot point. But, you know, I think
I didn't agree with that field goal. I mean, I thought that was a bad percentage play on the field goal. He got it through there because, man, he's going to leave you a short field if he misses that field goal.
Yeah, I mean, we've watched a couple of very long
yes.
field goals go
Listen,
through the uprights this year.
Yes, and last year, too, they had one, the 61-yarder that broke their back last year. And that one this year really hurt you. I think it really changed your season. I think it did. I think you would have had a different, maybe even a different Philly game. I think that was a real shot to the solar plexus, that one. It really was. I think that was a tough hit for you, an unlucky hit. It really was. I think it might have been a little different season if you had had that one and came out of Carolina with that win that day. But, you know, that's the way it goes. I mean, you have to recover from these things.
Sure.
At 1-6... It's a hard sell, and I can tell you the fans think you're full of baloney when they think that you still think you can go somewhere this year. They don't think you're going anywhere, and let's be honest, you'd have to run the table to go somewhere.
Well, but that's why inside the building, though,
Well, you have to think that way. I understand that. You do have to think that way.
I'm sensitive to what the fans believe, but I do know this. We as players and coaches are going to do everything we can to win this next game.
Do you expect them to be trading off some of your players here if there's deals to be had? Is that what has been communicated to you?
No, you know, obviously the deal with Eli came down today, and, you know, we've been working on a game plan, so I haven't had much conversation with Dave about anything else going forward.
But it's 8 days to the trade deadline, and you know what teams are shopping for players. You know, understand that. I mean, you know people trying to.
I'm well aware of that.
And you have one win with an older quarterback. What does that say to you when you look at your franchise and you have one win with a guy who's, you know, let's be honest, this was a now year for Eli, and now you guys are 1-6 after being 3-13 last year.
Well, I don't know how the trade deadline has anything to do with that. I think what's important.
Well, I think people think that Eli could be traded. You know, that some team might be interested in Eli, like Jacksonville or something like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that would be news to me at this point. But, hey, we're moving forward. We're trying to get everybody better, trying to do what we can to win this week.
Are you planning any changes for your team? Are you planning anything wholesale, or are you just planning on lining up and doing the same thing again?
Well, we're going to plan to play better with the guys. It's very hard to wholesale. You only have, you know, you have limited number.
Well, you've made a lot of changes already. I mean, I think you've made a lot of changes. You know, in your lineup, you've made a pretty good amount of changes.
Yeah, we have, and I think that's why, you know, it's really not wholesale. You sort of make changes constantly to try to get the right combination of guys in there, and so we'll just have to see as we go forward. Typically injuries, you know, can affect that. You know, we don't have we actually pulled out of this fairly decent, you know, injury wise. So we'll just have to see how some of the guys, you know, the game wear and tear adds up on them as the week goes on. But that's really where the changes come. And then, you know, with Eli now not being in the building, Apple, it's going to give some of the guys that have been playing in a limited role more snaps.
So are you planning – that was what I meant. Are you planning on looking at more young players now at 1-6 than you may have earlier in the season?
I don't think that at this point. You know, we're going to obviously slide up the corners, you know, with the absence of Eli. But, you know, the rest of the spots, we're going to try to continue to develop the young players that are playing and try to get the most out of really everybody on the roster.
Is there anything you can do to improve the execution? Listen, you threw the ball for 400 yards last night, so I can't tell you you didn't make plays. You made a bundle of plays downfield. Right. Shepard averaged 33 a catch. Beckham averaged 18 a catch. So right. It wasn't like your quarterback threw for 400 yards. It's not like you're not moving the ball, but the execution is not crisp.
Well, the execution in the red zone. You
yes,
know,
it's not crisp. And too many sacks elsewhere, too.
Well, especially early in the game.
Yes.
So we got that cleaned up and moved forward. You know, and that's the way the game is played. You know, we get down there in those critical downs, we got to put the ball in the end zone. So.
And do you see things that are correctable there, or do you see things that are just beyond your control there?
No, I think anything that happened last night that was a mistake, we can fix.
The running game,
yes.
What can be done, if anything, to help your running back get a little better opportunity to run the football?
Well, last night was a little different scenario than against Philly. You know, Philly played a little looser, and we were able to run the ball a little better. Last night, they certainly were committed to stopping the run, and I think that's why you saw having more success passing the ball. But we just got to make sure we're blocking our core runs the right way. And you know, I think we got to just stick with it and get more consistent. I think there's many things that contributed to the run game not having the success, and it was an offense team-wide thing. And I think, it can fall on the blockers, it falls on the runner, falls on the perimeter people, and you know, there's areas where we need to get better. There were some opportunities for good runs last night that we didn't get the most out of.
Are you surprised, we're talking with Pat Shurmur, the Giant head coach, to see a highly paid veteran left tackle have as much problems as he had last night?
No, I think Nate missed a lot of practice this week, and he battled. I mean, I think it's, you know, his night was a lot like really like everybody up front. You know, there's a couple plays there that got highlighted, but I know he'll be back ready to go. Starting tomorrow.
But you can't, I mean, you got to figure he's there to anchor that line. I mean, he's a veteran.
Sure.
He's getting paid a
sure.
ton of money. I mean, you don't expect him to be the guy you're worried about or needs help.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about him. And I know, hey, listen, he comes in and he battles, and he is here to anchor it, and he's done a good job there. But I think it's also important that everybody does their job, and they all work well together.
You know, Giant fans, as you know, Pat, are not used to 1-6, obviously. But let's be honest, this is not something that just started with you. This would be the fifth losing year in 6 years. This team has fallen into a very, very bad malaise now for many years. It's after that last Super Bowl win, when they beat the Pats the second time, they have fallen on hard times. This is going to be five, unless you have a miracle, it's going to be five losing years in six seasons. It's not just you here. You're the end of, you came in on something that was still spiraling, and it looks like it's still spiraling downward. We're wondering how that's going to stop.
Well, I think from an organizational standpoint, you know, philosophically, we got to do the very best we can to get the best players in here, and then we got to do a good job coaching them. And, you know, I think we got to move forward. First off, you move forward with the guys that you have, and you try to get this place winning. And then, you know, you get into another cycle of player acquisition, and you try to get and make the roster as good as you can make it. And, you know, I don't think there's no shortcut to that. And, you know, I think the important thing, though, is we got to sort of stop the bleeding here and go out and get some wins.
Well, I want to be – but what I'm saying is this isn't – you walked into something that was
I'm
already –
I'm aware of that. And there was,
yeah, it was, you see, you walked into a franchise that has a great history, but you walked into a franchise that was under – you know, has something wrong with it. And clearly you haven't been able to put your finger on what it is yet. and stop it, because we're getting more of the same. You've now lost 19 of 23 games in the last 2 years. That's not something anybody ever expects from the New York Giants.
No, I'm with you. Listen, it's
can you put
mentioned.
Your can you see well, what's I wrong? Think, can you is it a culture? Is there something wrong in the building? Is there anything you notice?
No, I think what you try to do is you bring in new systems, you bring in new coaches. You know, there's areas of play that are good. You know, we just got to be more consistent, and that comes with. And we got a lot of young players, we got a lot of new faces, so. To say that we're trying to climb the mountain with the same roster we did a year ago is not true. And so we've made a lot of changes to the roster, and we feel like, you know, we're doing it for the better now. We got to just listen. We played another playoff team from a year ago, and we did not get the victory, but there were things in that game that were good, and we got to build on that. And, you know, I think I've highlighted the main area that we need to improve. When we get close, we got to score touchdowns. That's it. And I think if we can start fixing that and keep encouraging the players to play hard, and, you know, I think the fans will start to see some of these guys and they'll become more household names. And then, you know, we'll get the results we're looking for. And, you know, at this point, you really don't worry about what's happening. You just keep playing and try to get a victory this Sunday.
But, the coach, the one thing about that is if you had a 21-year-old quarterback, that would be easy. You have a quarterback who's at the end of a very long, successful run, and people are thinking it's not the beginning of something, that it's the end of something. And that's how your fan base is looking at it, that it's the end of something. So they're waiting for the shoe to drop because they think it's the end of something, that this year had to be turnaround or it was going to be goodbye to Eli. And that's what they're waiting for now because they think the shoe's going to drop. You can understand that.
No, I can understand. Listen, I can understand.
It's a ticklish situation you walked into with a Hall of Fame level quarterback who's a 2-time Super Bowl champion who's been there 15 years. And now people are going to think, hey, we need a new quarterback. And he's not here yet, or where is he? And you have to deal with that. That's not an easy thing. That's a ticklish situation for you.
Well, we just keep working with the guys we have. And I'm thrilled to work with Eli and help get him as good as he can be. And he did a lot of really good things last night. He did. He did a lot of really good things. And, you know, he's like everybody that played last night, though. He's got a handful of things to clean up. And, you know, I think that would be the case, too, if we had won the game. And I know he's going to be on your show here soon.
Yeah, if he followed right after you. Yeah, and it's a tough spot with him. I've been doing this with him for many, many years, many successful years, and the recent years have been tough. I mean, they have been. Last year was tough when they benched him. I mean, it was a tough year. The Giants won 3 games. We're not used to years like this, and now it's another year of this, and, you know, these have been some tough, frustrating losses. We're not saying you've been blown out every game. You haven't been. No one's saying you have been, but there have been a lot of frustrating plays here, and a lot of this stuff. And you've really had trouble scoring touchdowns. That's really, if you want to put your finger on it, that's more than anything else. You've had trouble scoring touchdowns.
That's it. And I think that's been especially last night. That was the storyline.
So what is your message to this fan base right now?
Well, the message to the fan base is that we are doing everything we can to get this thing turned around and win a game. And I think that's where it starts. You know, I think. And they can be confident that
that makes them
want
to throw up, Coach. I hate to tell you, a game when you're 1-6 makes them feel like a game means nothing to them when they're 1-6. You know that. They think Giant fans think in terms of championships. They don't think about 1-6 and a game.
Hey, listen,
they want you to turn it around for good. They want you to turn.
So do we.
Right.
But it starts by winning the first one, and that's what we need to do.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, Mike.
Thank you very much. Okay.
See you, bud.
All right. And I got to listen. I know that he was on the 2012 thing. I'm going to get to the bottom of that for you and the audience because the Eagle coach did the same thing, and they're saying there's an analytics that shows that it's a higher percentage to do that than to kick the 2 PATs. I have to see that, and I want to see that statistically borne out, and I will look for the study that will show it, and we'll go over it because I still think the best thing you want to do is keep your team in the game when you're down. is keep the game alive, keep your team playing hard, thinking they can win. And the easiest thing is not to have them think they have to get a two-point conversion to send the game into overtime. You want to think of PAT. That's why I take the first PAT. He's saying there's a better way to do it. New analytical thinking. I want to see that. I want to see that borne out in percentages. I will look for it and see if I can find something that definitively puts the finger on it. Pat said, of course, what he just said to you, Eli's his quarterback going forward. He doesn't think Eli's going anywhere. He thinks he's going to be here. Where Eli will be, though, I can guarantee you, is here in just a couple of minutes back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.